It's a true crab cake. No peppers or onion, no filler, just a little egg and breadcrumbs to bind the cake together. The crab cake entree is 8 ounces, of which 7.5 ounces is crab meat. That's how little filler is in there. Surf and Sirloin, located southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, and serving only USDA prime beef, which you won't find at the grocery store. Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
It's an exciting time for sports. Sophomore sensation Lamar Jackson is redefining what it means to be a dual-threat quarterback. Odds on Jackson to win the MVP race were at 50-1 to begin the season and have plummeted since, making MyBookie's prop selection more attractive than ever. Without a doubt, people are going to be looking to get in on the action, and we have the best place for you to go, MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sportsbook around. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use our promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code RADIO to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
Hey, this is Tim McKernan. If you are looking for a great place to eat and drink, may I recommend to you Kirkwood Brewhouse at the corner of Woodlawn and Manchester in Kirkwood. Wow, what a place to enjoy some delicious wings, burgers, and of course, beers. An incredible selection at Kirkwood Brewhouse, and also outstanding service. It's Kirkwood Brewhouse at Woodlawn and Manchester in Kirkwood.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step.
I'm in a really good mood today.
Life
and
can
it
be
concerns
so
me because I don't know why.
This microphone, I think they fixed it because when I back way, it would just cut out right about here.
Dang, so still picking up on.
Congrats to whoever. Who do you think did this? Gino? Jim Huer? Who did
Jim
it?
I would say Jim Huer.
Let's give the credit to Jim Huer. Unless Gino did it. Gino, if you did it, thank you. So, covered him. Oh, it cut out right there. It cut out again. Okay.
Still broken.
Don't see what. It's got the same problems yesterday.
All right, hang on a second.
Unless you stay right on it and talk real loud, there's a point. Like right there, cut out again.
I can hear it.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to do it. Rather than play that, we're experiencing technical difficulties. Let's play Brenda Lee.
Brenda Lee?
Yeah, then just start the whole song.
Thing?
Yeah, the whole offensive thing. Of course, the one part that's offensive. And whoever's listening, Jim, I know you're in the building, or you were. We still have the same mic problem, but we're going to...
He's not listening.
While we listen... How do you know?
Did you tell him that we had a mic problem?
I didn't tell him.
Oh.
So we're going to fix this microphone. We're going to switch them like we did yesterday. And please enjoy the filth and disgusting sound of little Brenda Lee from the 50s. Like, yeah. Rock around the Christmas tree. I'll have some of that effing pie. Hang on, we're changing mics.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
We've already swapped mics. Crank it up there. It's the level. There you go. Oh, here it comes. So we'll have some effing pie. Let's go.
Later we'll have some pumpkin pie.
Oh, that's all I need here. Can you bump me up just a little?
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
There you go. Welcome aboard, everybody. Sorry about the little glitch. We also still have one other problem. It's nothing but problems when you're in radio. It's just, it's hard work because there's so much that can go wrong, and usually does. For example, I'll bet in your workplace, you don't have to worry about the digital clock on the wall having the digits too small, do you? No, of course not. There's something to be thankful for. We have that problem. I'm looking at it right now. Now, Tim Woodburn's job is accuracy, not size of the digits, accuracy. So you can't dump this on him. So I'm just going to let you know that in spite of that and the mic issue, I'm in a really good mood, and I don't know why, and that always kind of concerns me, because there's no reason I should be in a good mood every day of my life, I guess. But today I'm in an extra good mood, and you folks will be the beneficiaries of that. We have a little thing we call the, welcome officially on this, the 10th day of December. And if you've walked outside, you knew immediately it's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Oh. Hello, Amanda. That's my daughter who hates that. I hope you're doing well. I checked with her last night, and the marriage is, they're still married. It's going fine.
Still going?
It's 6 weeks.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, still together.
Well, anymore.
It's beginning to look that way, and now the Burke segment is merely... before we talk, a couple things. Dan Buffa will be in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk about TV shows and movies, and this is the hour where we just sort of kick things around, and you're welcome to jump in here, too. 855-282-8255. Or 314-821-0590. And thank you to all of you, and there were several of you who sent me yet more information on the late rapper Juice WRLD. What infuriates me is now they're trying to say that he was involved in you know, I don't want to talk about it because I'm tired of people planting evidence and making up stories about rappers. So let's just move on. Anybody? Yeah, of course it is. Anybody have anything to say?
Yeah, I got something.
Whoa, this is going to be a good day. Who spoke first? Let's go with Limey. Limey, Limestone, Trevor, whatever you want to call him. Phillips, all yours. You're welcome.
Right, thank you very much, Frank. So this is in the news right now, kind of becoming a viral news story going across the world. There is a real estate company up in Maryland that gave out $10 million in Christmas bonuses this year.
Wow. Must be a radio station.
Right?
Sounds like what they do.
Yeah, real estate company. So it's apparently 198 employees are going to get around $50,000 each.
Yes.
Yeah, imagine that.
Wow.
It's a Christmas bonus, $50,000.
Oh.
How much money does the company have to make to give away $10 million?
Aside from the answer being nothing,
right?
What's the most insulting Christmas present you ever got from an employee? Because there's a point where nothing would actually be better than an insulting $5 gift card or something. What's the most insulting?
The worst, I think it was like this. We did a Secret Santa at this one place I worked at, and this girl got me this crappy, like, you know, Drinks of the World box set, and it was basically just 4 different kinds of lager.
Now, Secret Santa is where you draw a name.
Yeah. No. You draw a name, and then you get them a gift, and vice versa.
And they don't know till the day of the giving who got their name.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. What did she get?
And she got me these like little 4-pack of beers from around the world.
Okay, but that's not your boss.
No.
I'm talking about an employer. Somebody you work for,
and you
do a good job, and then they hit you with a ham.
I think it would be like a gift card that was, a scratches card that was like $1. I got that attached with a bag of little puppy chow. And that was it.
See, that's insulting.
That was pretty insulting.
My dad was a blue collar laborer. My dad never made any real money, but he was always on time, and he was neat, and he was clean, and he was always early, because he'd always say to me, he said, you know, I get to work half an hour early. We're supposed to start at 7:30 in the morning, started at 7. He said, boy, this is a traffic type. I don't want to punch in my time card and be late. So he was always early enough to have a cup of coffee. And every year, A guy who was so dependable, you know what they gave him? Every year, a ham. And I used to just think, even as a kid, why don't I just give him nothing?
Right.
Because that's almost insulting.
A Christmas ham.
And it wasn't even the ham, it was a certificate for a ham. He had to go get the ham. And now we go to Dan. Dan, most insulting employer.
It was probably a ham. Or a certificate for a ham. I think that's what it was.
Tim?
I don't think I've ever received an insulting gift. ever.
And by that, I just mean it was worth...
Oh, like a joke?
It was worth so little. The boss probably actually thought, hey, man,
I'm doing something nice.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll appreciate this, when in fact you're going, really? That's it?
I don't think that's ever happened to me. I really don't. I can't think of a time where somebody gave me a gift that I laughed at or that I made fun of or that I thought was cheap. I don't think I have. Now, I did attend a holiday party one time.
Hey, look who's here, Tim Woodburn.
Oh, wow. How did you get here?
2 o'clock this morning.
I attended a holiday party one time in which the girl I was dating at the time, unbeknownst to me, had mixed pills and alcohol that night.
Oh,
and I knew she always liked to get a little out of hand when she'd have a couple of cocktails in her. But
nothing wrong with that.
She decided to mix a couple of pills. And so the general manager of the hockey team I was working for and the owner of the team and everybody's wife, we all went to this white tablecloth restaurant. And they gave me a team sweatsuit, essentially. Pant and top, zipper top, you know, like a sweatsuit.
Right.
A team monogram sweatsuit as a gift. Right. And a card that had cash money in it. Mm. And... gave one to all the employees that were at the table. And so I accepted my card, and nobody opened up their card, like, in front of each other. It was kind of a thing. Hey, I can kind of feel this card's got some cash in it. So I set the card down, and I opened up the gift, and the sweatsuit was, and at the time I was smaller than I am now. And at the time, I was. And, the size, they actually projected that my size was just a large, if you can believe
Idiots.
That. I know.
I was a large one.
And the guy says, and my boss says, you think that'll fit? I said, no. I said, I'll probably have to get an XL. He goes, oh, I got some XLs in the locker room because they were giving all the players one as well. He goes, I'll switch it out for you. I said, okay. His name was Pierre. I said, thank you, Pierre. And at one point, I excused myself to go to the bathroom.
You know what that meant, Prince? That means a man with no kidneys.
Really?
Yeah.
Also means boil sucker.
Dan. You didn't give my joke even a chance to settle in.
Oh.
No kidneys, Pierre. Yeah, you had to jump in and try to, you know, one up me. Way to go.
This is a guy, though, who spoke French as his first language. He was from Canada, moved to Virginia. He calls me in his office one day. He goes, Tim, he goes, come and sit down a minute. I want to pick your nose about an idea I have.
Pick your nose?
Pick your brain.
I know, I love it when they do
that.
He said,
pick your nose about an idea.
Did he pick your nose?
No, but I started busting out laughing. So this girl decides she's going to open up my card while I'm in the bathroom. Like, I excuse myself in the middle of the dinner, and she opens up. And Pierre's like, why don't you wait until Tim gets back? You know, why don't you wait? She said, he don't mind. He don't mind. We live together. He don't mind. And she starts opening.
Did you live together?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And she starts opening the card. And I get back to the table, and I don't realize this has happened, right? Because she kind of looked at it. She opened it. I guess she counted the money, put the card back on the table. And then I didn't realize that the envelope had been opened when I returned to the table. Nobody brought it up in conversation. And at the end of the night, she got so drunk that we were saying our goodbyes to each other, and Pierre comes up to me and goes, hey, your girl, she's a little tipsy, eh? She goes, by the way.
She's got a little what?
A little tipsy.
Oh, she's a little tipsy.
Yeah. He goes, I want you to know, it was very rude of her to open your card there at the table. I go, she opened my card? And I pulled out of my coat, and I'm like, man, listen, I'm sorry. She got out of hand. My apologies, blah, blah, blah. So I go outside, and she's at the trunk of the car of the owner of the team, right? And she's got this sweatsuit in her hands, and his trunk is open. And I hear her say the following words. Next time, get him the right mother effing size! Boom! And she throws the sweatsuit down into the trunk of his open car. And storms off. And, like, she lost her mind. Like, they had no memory of it the next day. And, like, it was so bad.
What?
It was so bad.
You lost your job?
I actually considered that it was so bad that I thought they might, like, ban her from the games or something.
Wouldn't blame.
Or certainly ban her from attending any team functions thereafter, which sort of that happened. But, yeah, it was from out of nowhere, because she'd never acted like that before. And she blew it off the next day saying it was because she took some pain pills for something, and then she mixed it with alcohol. She said she had a blackout. And that's what she did during the blackout. So that's why I was kind of embarrassed about that. I don't know if you've ever been embarrassed at a holiday party or a family party or anything because of somebody that you were with did something, or maybe you're embarrassed for somebody that did something at a party, but that was the worst one for me.
You just reminded me. First of all, you have to understand, folks, my wife and I, we don't throw parties. We don't
we not your thing.
We just don't.
Right.
I've never had more than 12 or 14 people. And that was all family, with just a couple of exceptions. But many, many years ago, Dan, you know Paul Warner?
Yes, I do.
Paul Warner used to host a yard sale. I've known Paul for a long time. We used to work together at KUSA, which was a country station. And Paul had bought, I think, I don't know about women, but I think most men, at some point, you go through a phase or two where there's something you think you have to have, like one classic car. It's like a classic car or a model train, whatever it is. So Paul had bought a vintage Mercedes, like a 19, not real old, but let's say a late 70s 280 SL, a little sports car or something, and it was in really nice shape. I think it had been either restored or it was really kept in pristine shape. He was very proud of it. And so he was at the house, and another friend was at the house, and maybe three other couples. And by the way, since then, I don't think we've ever had anything even that big. So as one of the guests goes to leave, and he doesn't live more than, it's less than 5 miles away, and he'd had a few drinks, and I said, Steve, we'll just call him Steve. I said, Steve, will you want somebody to take you home? You come back and get your car. No. I says, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. We just live down at the... He gets in the car and he leaves. And within 3 minutes, he's back at the front door. And I said, did you forget something? Now, this was a very cold, miserable night, and ice had started to... No. He said, I hit somebody's car in your driveway. I slid right into it. It was Paul's little Mercedes that he had just bought. And that night he'd been telling everybody about it, the history of it, and oh my goodness, this guy. And when the other guy came to the door, he said, I said, whose car did you hit? He said, I hit Paul's. I said, the car he spent most of the night telling people that was his baby that he said, man. Yeah. And I can still see Paul's face when he walked out. We went with him, and he just stood there and stared at the crunched-in fender.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I felt so bad for both of them.
Did he have that look like who was it? Owen Wilson in Meet the Parents when Hopa burnt down, remember? It was on fire.
Yes, that looks Zeebo-like. Yeah. And they're both friends, so it was very awkward. And of course, the guy that hit him said, "Hey, man, I will make sure whatever it costs, this car is put back." But you know how that is; it's never really the same.
Oh, no.
If you've ever had a car,
it's also inconvenient because instead of being able to just go home and drive it and cruise,
limp
and look
at home,
it,
yeah,
you've got to look at it, then you've got to take it to get fixed. It's just annoying.
I had two Christmas presents that were work presents. One, I was stunned at how big the bonus was, and the other one, I was so insulted that moment when I opened the envelope, I called my wife and said, "We're moving, and I'm leaving this place." And it was the short time I spent in South Carolina. We lived there 10 months.
Right.
And that's when I knew, I'm never going to go anywhere here because this guy is never going to, here's what he gave me. I'll cut this a little bit short. It was an election year, and I mean, like the big every 4 year presidential election.
Right.
So I was the news director, and I know that sounds like a joke, which it was. So I covered him on two stations, an AM and an FM. So from my regular job was 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. I did the news every hour and a half hour. And 2:00, I get to go home. Well, election day, my boss came to me and he said, "Would you stay? Election results are coming in, and instead of going home at 2, stay till all the numbers are in." So I did, which was midnight. So I was there from 6 a.m. to midnight.
Wow.
It took me 40 minutes to get home. I went home, slept for about 3 hours, came back, was on the air again 6 the next morning till 2. So I worked 6 to midnight and then again 6 to 2 with only about 3 hours sleep. At the end of the second day, at 2:00, after my newscast, the receptionist says, "Mr. Sigmund would like to see you in his office." So I went in, and he said, "Well, sit down, young man." And I sat down, and he said, I want you to know something. Nothing here goes unnoticed. I know and see everything." And when he says that, when your boss says that, it's like, uh-oh.
What have you done?
He caught me or saw me, right. And I said, "Okay." And he said, It did not go unnoticed, what you just did, working basically three shifts almost in a row. And he hands me an envelope. And this was obviously close to Christmas because the election was November, you know, whatever.
November 6th.
And he said, Merry Christmas, and it's well deserved. I opened it in front of him. And this is where you have to be a pretty good actor. Because if you're not, you're going to go, are you kidding me? $10. It was a check for $10.
What year?
For $10.
This would be 72.
Okay.
$10. And he said, you've earned it. I called my wife and I said, you're not going to believe this. I just got $10. Now, if I'd been a cursing person, I'd have said $10 from this blankety blank. And that's when I knew I'm never going to make. The opposite of that was 1973, and I started a job in March. So by Christmas, I'd only been there 9 months. Okay? A little over 9 months. My boss was Jewish. Christmas comes. My salary was $10,400 a year. I knew exactly what I made. Well, I got in 73, buddy. I was rolling.
Was that 800 a month?
Roughly. Okay. Yeah. So on my desk is an envelope. It's Christmas time. And of course, I'm thinking, once I kind of learned what Jewish meant, I didn't know what that meant. I'm from Tennessee, but I knew Christmas wasn't their thing. But yet, here's an envelope on my desk. Again, my salary is $10,400, yet I had only worked a little over 9 months. There's a check for $1,000 in there. And again, in that year, at that time, today, it'd be like 10 grand. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Was 10 for your paycheck. Yeah.
But my first reaction was not, wow. My reaction was this, and I wasn't kidding, was an error. It was a mistake. It was maybe 100. Somebody made a mistake. So I went down to his office and knocked on the door. He said, come in. And I put it down. I said, I think there's been a mistake here. And he looked at it and he goes, no, that's no mistake. And I wanted to cry almost in front of him. I was so grateful for that because we really needed the money. So I've had, you know, the insult, the bonus, and then the over-the-top kind of bonus. Do you have more for the Burke segment? I know we got sidetracked.
That's it. That's all I got.
And now, I believe, who spoke next? Tim Woodburn, I believe. Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you, Frank. You're welcome. I want to clarify something I said yesterday when we were talking about airplane bags.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a stewardess one time reach up and grab one of those bags and hand it to somebody who was getting sick on an airplane. I assume that those were sick bags.
The plastic part.
Plastic part. Or even, I've seen a paper version of bags on planes before.
Well, they're in the seat in front of you.
Okay, well I'm talking about...
The drop-down.
The drop-down, correct. Right. The drop-down.
Oh, okay, yeah, there's a...
But, I mean, I've seen non-plastic versions of those as well.
Okay.
And she grabbed that from the thing, like kind of an emergency, kind of as the last resort. She grabbed it, yanked it, and handed it to the woman... And she vomited into it. I assume that's what those are for. It's my understanding.
If it comes down from the roof, that's for oxygen.
Right.
We know that. But there's that plastic bag. And so yesterday I said, what the heck is that? Because it doesn't inflate. What's that for? Well, last night I Googled it and I found out what it's for. It's to capture oxygen so that, here, oxygen's flowing one way into your lungs. Uh-huh. When you exhale into that thing, they don't want your carbon dioxide going back in. So somehow or other, that bag traps oxygen. There's a one-way valve that lets your CO2 escape out the sides of the bag. And there's a little oxygen reserve there. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It still looks crude. And in all these years, this is one of those things that's never been updated. With all the technology, that thing that falls down is still a yellow cup with a bag.
Yep.
It's the same exact thing. You just think it would have been improved by now.
And I wanted to ask your advice. I wanted to ask everybody on the show's advice / opinion on a quick issue. My next door neighbor sold his house, and a new family of five has moved in.
Oh boy!
And the kids are all teenagers. I'm a single guy. What's appropriate to do when somebody moves in as you're right next door, not just on the street, but your next door neighbor? You know, like in the old days, people would come over and bring a pie, or they send a note. Do you just wait to see him out in the driveway and introduce yourself, or do you actually go knock on the door and say hello, or what's appropriate to do in 2019?
I would say just walk over and knock on the door and say, "Hi, my name's Tim. I live next door. Stay off my grass." That's it.
That's a great question, because the answer, an acceptable answer, is you don't have to do anything. You will eventually see each other and go, "How you doing?" Walk and shake hands. But to go out of your way.
Well, I think he's right. Like, you know, if you're living next door to somebody, it's common courtesy to go and say hello. But
welcome to the neighborhood.
Just walk over, knock on the door, welcome to the neighborhood. That's it.
Knock on the door, not wait to see him out in front and
Then you have no idea if they're going to be busy or rushing or anything like that.
Here's my problem with that. What if they want to like invite me inside, you know, and like sit down for a chat?
Hold on,
was your suggestion you go knock on the door and say hello?
Yeah.
Just walk over, knock on the door.
I disagree.
Don't have a lot of time.
Not until they've been there at least a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let them come in and get settled. Then just go over and, "Hi, I'm Tim, your next door neighbor. Have a good day." And leave.
See, it'd be just like me to do that, Limey. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, "Hey, it's real nice to meet you. Hey, you're a big guy. Listen, would you mind helping me move a couple things around real quick?"
They're not going to do that if they just met you.
Listen, I know. Okay. People did it in an apartment complex all the time.
That's a little
bit. I've seen young people do that in an apartment. Hey, listen, you know.
Here's what you do. You wait to decide if you like the family or not. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like them, you walk over, you knock on the door. When they come to the door, you're holding a paper cup. And you go, "Hi, I'm Tim. I live next door. I thought you might enjoy a cup of my urine."
"I got this."
And then they're going to go, "What?" They're going, "What did you say?" You go, "A cup of my urine. Would you like to share a cup of my urine with me?" And then immediately they're calling a realtor. "We're out of here. We got to sell this
house." Here's what you do. You go over, and right as you knock on the door, when somebody answers, just be like, "Hi, can't talk for long. Got to go real quick. Just wanted to say welcome to the neighborhood." And then save it before you go to the store. And then just, you know, walk away and leave. They're not going to be like, "Oh, hey, well, come on in. Have a cup of tea or something."
Yeah, but then
like
you
that,
come
you know?
Across as a jerk doing that.
No, you don't. There's a fine line
between a quick hello and being friendly.
Nah. I think just let them know you're in a rush. Go over, say hello, and then bail.
What's funny is that the last neighbors I had, do you know what moles are?
Yeah, sure.
Do you know? Well, Blimey and I have differed on air about the best way to get rid of a mole. Yeah. And the best way that I have found to get rid of a mole is to spread grubworm killer. And
PETA people, if you're listening, you need to know something. Nobody gives a crap about moles, okay? They don't.
And grub mole killer spread works on a lawn, because what you're doing is you're killing their food and you're making them go to the next yard for
Dan, Dan, what do you think? What would you do, Dan? Mm-hmm. Dan, what would you do?
Right. Nothing. I wouldn't.
What do you
anything.
Mean? You'd do nothing?
No, I wouldn't do anything.
What about what Tim said? What do you think about his idea?
I think it's great.
What was his idea? You don't know, do you?
No.
You know why you don't know? I'd like to explain this to people. We've talked about this before, Dan.
Yeah.
Just tough love. You're sitting over there chatting it up with Quentin.
Is yeah, that Quentin's here.
And you're not supposed to be doing that.
Hey,
we're on a show.
But we have calls. I was answering the phone.
Fine, we have calls. What's that got to do with over there playing Mahjong, whatever that game is, or whatever you're doing with Quentin? Whatever. Cool. What are you doing?
Mahjong? What am I doing?
What are you doing over there?
I'm not playing Mahjong.
No, what are you doing?
Nothing.
I believe it's Mahjong.
No, you don't even know what we're talking about. You're in another thing. I like Quentin, but Quentin, get the hell out of there.
He can't hear. He doesn't have any.
Why is he there?
He doesn't have any.
He came in to say hello.
Dan, here's how you do that. "Hi, I'm in the middle of a show. Good to see you." That's it. Okay. Holy mackerel. Sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
That's it. I was just saying that the previous neighbors, I used to spread it at night so they wouldn't catch me doing it, because I knew I was going to shove the moles over to the yard, and the previous neighbors caught me doing that, and like, "What are you doing?" "Oh, okay, I said you could do this, you know, you're gonna push them over to your yard, huh?" So then the next day they go and do it. It was kind of a war between my former neighbors as to who could shove the mole over to whose yard, and, you know, to the point where we were doing it, you know, a month earlier than a month earlier than a month earlier. I actually got along with them
a long time ago.
It was kind of a friendly neighborly rivalry, you know, like how neighbors have who can have the best looking lawn, or who can have the best looking Christmas lights.
We're in a neighborhood, and we had somebody that was, we saw him looking at the house. We didn't like the looks of them.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they just come directly from like the worst trailer park in the world and inherited some money, and now they're going to buy like a real house or something. And the kids were loud and obnoxious. And I talked to another neighbor. I said, "Here's what we got to do." Because this was back when Times Beach was in the news. I said, "We got to kill some rats and stuff, lay their little dead bodies out, in his yard and go, you're buying that house after they found that dioxin? I hope you don't have any pets because they'll drop dead. They're dropping dead all up and down the street here. But we didn't do it, and they didn't move in anyway. Dan, did you have anything, or are you still talking to Quentin?
No, we're still talking. We're catching up. We're having a Tupperware party.
Yeah, do you have anything for the Burke segment?
I do.
All right, well, would you please share it with us?
I will share it with you today. My girlfriend Sandy and I, we went to Burke.
Oh, hold that one. Hold that. I want that till later. I want more time for that.
Okay.
We have phone calls. I'd like to take him. Doc has been on for quite a while. Doc, welcome to 590 The Fan. Merry Christmas. What's up?
Merry Christmas to y'all, too. My name is PM.
Well, thank you.
The fine company that I work for, in a lot of ways, I really do like them, but I had been there 26, 27 years, something like that, and I got a little paper certificate in the mail celebrating my 20th year of service, and they spelled my name wrong.
Oh, my goodness. And is it a very complicated name?
No.
But here's the deal. Even if, what is it?
Here Ford. Hereford, like the cow.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. It may not be complicated at all, but if your name is Alan, and you spell it A-L-A-N, and you've worked there 25 years, and they hand you something, and they've spelled it A-L-L-E, and that's insulting.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's only 6 or 7 years late, which, you know, maybe HR is struggling. But, yeah, I mean, it was a piece of typewriter paper. It wasn't even a thick piece of paper.
It was the most impersonal thing you could do. Did you ever go to
Jelly of the Month Club?
Ever go to a funeral or something, and the preacher doesn't even know the deceased, and they get up at the funeral and mispronounce maybe either the dead person's name or the spouse's name. It's insulting. And it immediately lets you know, they don't even know I exist. They know anything about me. Yeah, that's a good one.
And while you're talking about neighbors, we had the town I lived in was very white, and we fostered a lot of kids, and we had some black foster kids, little kids, and a couple of my neighbors threw a fit.
Oh, sure.
And one of them in particular, I mean, told me he was born in an all-white town, and he wants to stay all-white. Well, my best friend is black, and so we had him and his wife came over to visit us, and somebody else who happened to work with us was a part-time real estate agent with a little magnetic thing on their car.
Perfect.
And they came over, and we're sitting out in the front, you know, all talking. They're showing all around, looking.
That's beautiful.
He hasn't spoken to me in years now.
It's still there, the racism thing. Last year, somebody that my wife and I know, and we were stunned when we heard this. They live in a subdivision, and a black couple moved in next door to them. It couldn't have been more obvious. They put their home up for sale the minute they knew they were moving
in.
I mean, you want to be obvious, at least hold off a little bit so you don't look quite so racist. Well, Doc, good story.
Well, one of the neighbors told us that if we actually adopted these kids, they were going to sell their house.
And unbelievable.
I'm stunned because they're little bitty kids.
Unbelievable.
That's when you
want to say, well, you know what? We were kind of toying with something, but you've helped me make the decision. We're going to adopt three of them now. We're only going to do one, but now, thanks for saying that. Now we're going to get three black kids. How fast can you move out of here? Wow. To think that, it's still there. It's still there. All right, Doc.
By the way, Limey missed it. I said anyway, and he missed it.
I knew it. I knew he was going to say it, but you carried on talking. I knew it.
Anyway.
Too late now. The impact is gone. Doc, Merry Christmas. Thanks. Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening.
All right,
Skip's up now. Skip, Merry Christmas. Welcome to 590. What's up?
Thank you, Frank. Merry Christmas to all you guys. I'm just going to tell you this quick story, and then I'm going to go have some pumpkin pie.
Ooh. Not effing pie, but pumpkin pie.
No, I like the pumpkin. The effing pie is strong.
Yeah, it is too strong.
Back in the 80s, I was in the middle of my career as an Air Force man. My wife had to work also so we couldn't make ends meet. We didn't make a lot of money during that time. I'm not complaining. So she didn't drive, but she had to work at Tip Top Cleaners in O'Fallon. And she walked 2 miles every day, and I would pick her up at night at 5 and take her home. She did this, and they loved her. Everybody called her the Tip Top Lady. She was great. Worked at his dry cleaners in the first time for our jet or our bonus to come. I pick her up at 4:30. She said, "I got to stay for a half an hour." And I said, "All right, what'd you get a bonus for?" Woman up, it was two pieces of white bread with bologna and lettuce on the middle of it. That's
her bonus? A bologna sandwich?
No way.
It was a bologna sandwich. Bologna
from what kind of employer?
The year after that, he gave us a coupon for a small ham because I guess he called it. He's from another country, and maybe they didn't know that they celebrated that. She had it, and the worst part of it is I was upset about it. She was upset. She was upset to work another half an hour, so I just walked around the parking lot messing around. She got out, and she's still fuming, and she said, "Where's the damn sandwich?" And I said, "I ate it."
That's an example where no gift is better than that gift.
Absolutely. You know what she could have used it as, though? And this is a true story. To this day, if you have to spend a day or the night in the St. Louis County Jail in Clayton, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner is a bologna sandwich on white bread with no cheese and no mayonnaise or nothing. It is a slice of bologna.
Cheese. That's right, Red Boy.
It's a slice of bologna between two pieces of white bread.
Well, then I can't go to jail because I hate bologna.
And you can get two. You can ask for a second one. You get two of them. And there's people down there, and the bologna's horrible. And there's people down there that, like, will hoard them. And they'll prop them up and use them as pillows so they can sleep on them on the bench because you don't get any pillows down there. So, like, there's people that... You can eat that sandwich? Okay, thanks, man. I'm going to use it for my pillow over here. You can eat that sandwich? This is a true God's honest story.
I'm so tired. I can't wait to lay my head down on a couple of pieces of bread.
Anybody listening to the show that's been to St. Louis County Jail knows that that's what you get fed.
We got a few that have been to jail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Skip, anything else?
You know, I guess when I got to check that guy, he might have come from prison for all I know.
I may have. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you guys.
Okay. All right. And who's next? Mike?
Tim.
Tim, welcome to 590. Merry Christmas. What's up?
Thank you, Frank.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
What do you got?
First of all, I am AM and the PM.
A lot of people are. Thank you.
And I have a bone to pick with Tim, which I hate doing because my name's Tim. Mm.
Mm.
But Friday, Tim said that Willie started smoking dope in 1954, and that's 73 years of smoking dope.
30.
I was born in 1954, and I'm only 65, not 73.
Idiot! Well, first of all, I didn't say it on Friday because we don't do a show on Fridays.
Thursday.
You said Friday. Go back to the tape, Limey. Pay attention. 54.
Did you say Limey?
Yeah.
I said you said it on Thursday.
I said it on Thursday. Oh, I thought you were saying he said you said it on Thursday. No, you're chiming in.
Holy mega, man. Oh. Boy, well, Tim, I'm sorry you had to hear this. This is
46 and 19 is 65. You're right. My math was wrong.
Okay.
Your math is right. I said 73 years, and it's only, you know, and it's because, I guess, Willie's 86, and he says he's been smoking dope for 73 years, but then he said he smoked his first doobie in 1954, so I guess he smoked it non-doobie style before that. The caller's right.
Well, I'm sorry, what, Tim? What did you say? What did you just say? The caller's
right. The caller's right.
Right.
Unbelievable.
No, he is. Wow. Because I haven't captured that. I converged two parts of the story into one sentence, and I screwed up. His first joint was in 54, but he said he'd been smoking it for 73 years.
Mm. Okay, well, that's confusing, I guess.
Well, my name's Tim, so Tim could have said Tim's right, and then we're both right.
No, that's a good point.
Tim's right.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you. Call us out anytime when we screw up.
Do.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Next would be Mike, I think, right? Yeah, Mike, Merry Christmas. Thank you for calling. Welcome to 590. What can we do for you?
Hi, Frank. I am the PM.
Thank you. You sound like a pretty happy guy.
Oh, well, I try, but I'm married.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that.
Uh-huh. See what you did there.
What's up?
Hey, I worked in a company in Litchfield, Illinois, and this is years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, Christmas comes around.
Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
You did it.
Got that one.
You did it.
Whoa.
Christmas comes around. We have the big Christmas party, you know, party. They hand out awards for, you know, no missing days or
Yeah, I know about that.
So
yeah,
they call my name up there and they say, Mike, what they're doing is they're giving away these lapel pins that say the name of the company and then how many years.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, they gave it to me.
Yeah.
They go back to the table and for 25 years. They give me two pins, one for 20 and one for 5. And I went back and I said to them, I think you made a mistake. And they said, no, we ran out of 25, so we just gave you 5.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how the 20 and the 5.
Oh, my.
After that, I kind of moved on.
Now, that's when you start packing. You know, it's time to start looking around.
Yeah, that was a joke. Nah. Anyway, that's...
That's
anyway.
Two. You did it twice.
Sorry, what is wrong with me?
I don't know.
Would have been fun if they would have ran out of 20s.
Somebody would have run out of 20s.
Run out of 20s and give you a bunch of 5s.
How many 5s would that be, Dan?
5 5s. No, 25 5s.
Mike, I'm sorry you had to be a part of this, too. Thank you for calling, though, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
All right.
73.5.
Why is Quentin still in there? I like Quentin, but why
maybe
is he
still
in
there?
Maybe
he's just coming to hang out.
He's just
sitting
there hanging out.
You can't do that, because Dan...
Maybe he's waiting to talk to you.
No, Dan is easily distracted.
He doesn't have headphones on.
I don't care. No. Let him go.
I'm not a squirrel.
Dan cannot have anybody in the room with him because he turns to them and ignores the show. This is not a joke. I'm not kidding. I've done this like 100 times. Talk to Brian. Brian, thank you for calling. Merry Christmas. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Brian?
That's you, buddy.
That's you. I hear you breathing almost. Brian? Got him loose.
Bye, that's Brian.
Cool. I got a little bit of business. The business of... The Chevy business, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. If you folks have not seen the new Blazer, the Chevy Blazer, wow. When you do, your first reaction will be, is that a Chevy? Is that a Range Rover? Was it a Chevy? No, it's a Chevy Blazer, the new Blazer. It's incredible looking. It's one of Chevy's great new designs over the last 20, 30 years. Probably would be in the top 3. And look anything like Blazers in the past. I've had a couple of Blazers. This is a terrific looking vehicle. If you are in the market, traditionally, historically, this time of year, right about now through the first of the year into February, is the slow time of year for the car business. I don't know why. I get it. Christmas, we've got a lot of expenses, and think about getting the car right now. Let's see after our taxes are put together. We know what we're going to get in April. I get all that, but sometimes there are dealerships that are exceptions to the rule, which means you can make an exception to your rule of not car shopping this time of year, and a lot of people do at Londoff, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. They are 3 weeks away. One, two, three. No, not even. Yes, exactly 3 weeks. 21 days away from rolling into year number 60 at their current location. It was 1960 that John Londoff Sr. opened that dealership where it is now, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County. So the 60th anniversary year, of course, will be 2020. And you don't need to wait for some big celebration, because you'll be celebrating the minute you finalize the deal on your new Chevy or your pre-owned vehicle from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. And there'll be plenty of reasons to celebrate. You can celebrate the fact that you've now found a dealership you actually enjoy doing business with, where they knew how to treat you, where the prices were competitive, where the selection was great. Everything you want in a dealership but don't seem to be able to find is right there. And for those of you who've already shopped there, you know what I'm talking about. And thank you to you folks for letting them know your AM and the PM. And thanks in advance to the rest of you who will tell them your AM and the PM at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Now, is this Brian back?
We'll see.
Is he back again? Brian, are you back?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Brian. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there last time. Merry Christmas. What's going on?
Merry Christmas. I am AM in the PM.
Well, thank you. What's up?
Yeah.
Brian, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
I called you on Veterans Day, and we were talking about thanking veterans, you know, and seeing veterans wearing hats and such.
Right.
And you brought up the fact of specifically seeing a Vietnam vet and tell him thank you.
Right.
Me and a coworker were eating breakfast about 2 weeks ago, and we saw a Vietnam vet wearing, he had a hat on saying that he was. And so I got up when he was getting ready to leave and shook his hand and said, thanks for serving. And while I was still holding his hand, I said, and welcome home.
Oh, my goodness. How powerful.
And he just kind of looked at me, and he didn't say anything for a second. He said, thank you.
Yeah.
And that was all it was said, but it was really,
no,
it really hit home.
And I got to tell you something. Wasn't it a great feeling? Because he did not see it coming. Because they think they're way past forgotten about. But they shouldn't be. Good for you, man. Because it had to feel good for you, too.
Yeah, it did. Because I could tell on his face by me not just saying thank you for your service, which I always do when I see someone,
right,
but to say that, I could see that it really meant something to him. And I want to continue doing that, specifically for the Vietnam vets if I see them.
Yeah, good for you. So am I. Well, thank you. Thank you for that story. Maybe it will cause somebody else to do it, because it does feel good. It feels good to make somebody else feel good. Thank you, Brian.
You bet.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Now, again, did he mean, I have a good one, like you have a good one, or have a good one, like I never know sometimes.
I think he meant the latter. Yeah. Like, just have a good one.
Because the only way he would know that I have a good one is if I'd been with his wife.
He wouldn't know that.
And his wife had did.
No chance of that.
What do you think, Dan? Dan, what do you think? What would you do?
He would have said, crap, that's small.
Which one would you choose, Dan?
I would have said, have a good one. That one. He just said, oh, crap, that's small.
I can't wait till the news breaks, so I go in there and kick Quentin out of there. So concentrate
Quentin.
On the show. Well, it's not Quentin that's the problem. It's you.
I'm fine. I was paying attention.
We're going to have to put a no visitors thing
in
there.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
So how much time do I have? I don't have a lot of time. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about here in a little bit. There's a Mac has a computer out. You could actually buy this thing. I'm not going to give too much away now. The price of this, if you get it with all the options and the best video card and all of that, I'll save this for you. And I know Josh's segment was yesterday, but this is one of those things where if we wait long enough, this same computer, like a lot of things, in 4, 5, 6 years, will probably be a tenth of what it is now. And we did explain to you the big question yesterday was, what is the plastic bag for on the oxygen tube? We told you, if you just joined us, I'm sorry, that'll teach you to start listening a little bit earlier. And I do have, Steve, your joke that you requested today. And thank you for reminding me of it, because it is a great joke, and we will tell it in the Playhouse today. It is my great pleasure to remind all of you to make a note, put it in your phone calendar, set an alert, an alarm the day before for this Saturday morning to listen to the yard sale, 7 to 9 o'clock. Now, I know that there are people who hear that and they go, I really like going to those garage sales. People drive. No, this is not driving anywhere. You stay home, you turn on your radio or listen in the car. It is a yard sale on the radio, and those things have been around forever. When I was a little kid, the little tiny radio station we had in our little hick hillbilly southern town, there was only one station, 1010 on the AM dial, WORM, Worm AM, and they had Swap and Shop. And people would call and say what they had, and another caller would go, well, I'll trade you this for it. So they would either swap or they would buy something somebody didn't need anymore. So stuff's been around a long time, but the one we have, I think you'll find, is the one even people who aren't big fans of yard sales get a kick out of.
I'm going to invite Quentin to come in Saturday on the yard sale.
I'll just keep talking. So it's entertaining. It's fun. You may be able to sell something or find something that somebody doesn't need anymore. It's called the yard sale. I mention it because there's one sponsor and only one, First Community Credit Union. I cannot thank First Community Credit Union enough for coming along and becoming part of this show at exactly the right time. when we really needed to fill that banking facility void, but we weren't willing to put just anybody in there. It's been a great relationship, and I hope it goes on as long as we get to keep doing what we're doing, and I hope that you will consider moving all your banking business to First Community Credit Union. 3 weeks left, folks. 3 weeks for this offer. Move your car loan from wherever it is to First Community Credit Union. They'll give you at least $100, and there may be a bonus in it for you because their rates are often lower, many times people's car payments go down. So you know you got at least $100, maybe a lower car payment, and now you're one of us, a member of First Community Credit Union. Find out more at firstcommunity.com. It is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.